Well, friends, it's that time of year again. I hope you're on the nice list and you're able to avoid that naughty list. It's not a list that you want to be a part of. So if you've been getting in there, being creative, adding to the world, then you're on the nice list in my world. So, can you believe it though? Christmas Eve is a week from tomorrow. That means we're a couple of weeks away from the new year. And while that's not necessarily my focus, like, you know, it's not the annual New Year's Eve episode, but we are going to talk about how you can stay curious in 2024. So stay right here. So what do I mean by staying curious? I mean, what does that have to do with creativity, right? Well, for me, someone who is a self-prescribed sufferer of creative ADD, ADHD, whatever you want to call it, you know, I can't just be in one small world and be that specialist. And maybe it's because I haven't found that one thing that I love exclusively in the design, art, creative world that I could just dedicate my whole heart and soul to. Now, that's me. You may be different, and that's totally cool. And we need specialists in this world. But we also need generalists. And you know, if you've listened to this podcast before and some of the other episodes, you know that I'm definitely a proponent of taking the generalist route. And again, this is one dude's opinion. But by being curious, by exploring things that are not your specialty, there are things that stretch you, that push you. There's just so many amazing benefits that can come from that. I mean, we're talking, you know, increase your skill set, you know, work your mind, help to expand it, help to ward off health issues in the future, like dementia and Alzheimer's. You know, I'll try to find some quotes or some type of statistics to back that up. You know, just look around me. If you're watching the visual version of this podcast, maybe there will be some statistics that'll pop up. But it's true. You know, that's one of the best things that you can do, is be always learning, stretching your mind to be able to ward off some of these health concerns. And for those non-creatives out there, which it's a choice, either you decide to be creative or you don't, well, you know, they're being told like, oh, you know, pick up a hobby like coloring or painting or, you know, somehow expressing yourself creatively, and that's going to extend your life by so many years or help you increase the percentage of likelihood not to get one of these. And I think there were like a triple negative in there, so it's hard to keep track of what I'm saying half the time. Even for me, can you believe it? Yeah. But by staying creative, you're always learning, you're expanding your mind, you know, and I would argue, this is me, that knowing a little bit, and that's relative, you know, my little bit might be more than your little bit or vice versa. And it's all about your experience, the time you put into these things. You know, if it takes 10,000 hours to be an expert at something, well, isn't it possible that you can, if your life is long enough and if you put enough into it, that you could spend multiple 10,000 hours in multiple things and actually become masters of many? Yeah, I think so. Now, by no means am I trying to claim that I'm a master of many or anything, but, you know, I've done this long enough. I've developed a decent skill set in the arts of creative, both digitally and physically, in all different disciplines, to where, yeah, I can hold my own. Let's put it that way. But, and another benefit that I've found from staying curious and always learning is that something that you didn't necessarily think about as a positive outcome might transpire, right? So for example, 2009, I decided to get into 3D sculpting. I think I had touched it for a moment, like back in 2006 with Mudbox and just a mouse, and I'm like, oh, this got potential, but you know, this is just a free trial. I've got bigger fish to fry or whatever. And then I started seeing more about ZBrush, and I'm like, that really feels like art. You know, like you're not just a technician necessarily. I mean, this is requires a stylist to really achieve certain results, and that was a personal challenge to me. You know, I'd played with Play-Doh as a kid. I'd taken, you know, a couple weeks of a sculpting class in high school before I transferred out because something else opened up. I forget the reason, but so I hadn't had a lot of experience in it. Let's just put it to you that way. And it was something I wanted to do, and I just thought, hey, I'll do this and maybe I'll create some cool 3D sculpts. But what I found is that the more I invested time into 3D sculpting, you know, rotating that 3D model around, trying to create humans, kind of working on anatomy in 3D sculpting in that world, that when I went to go draw again, you know, because not too long before this, a few years prior, I was all about drawing pencil to paper, and I was going to be a comic book artist, and that was where my head was. But one thing led to another, and I went the graphic design route, okay, multimedia at the time. But it was awesome to see how much that 3D sculpting helped inform my drawing. I was able to, you know, I mean, it's working some of the same muscles, you know, and improving the same type of hand-eye coordination, but it also gives you a lot of, like, I don't know what the right term is, visual, ocular information on how shapes and volumes move in 3D. And when you're drawing, for those of you who've put some real time into it, you know that that's one of the hardest things, is like foreshortening, you know, how do you draw that unless you're looking at a photo, and then, or one of the hardest things was, you know, turn your head to the back and get that three-quarter view of the face from memory is just tricky. And 3D sculpting helped make me better at drawing, believe it or not. And I've heard others since say the same thing. You know, or we go back to the world of web design. When I became a web designer back in 2005 officially, that didn't mean just creating beautiful UI in Figma like it does today. If you were a web designer, you were, first of all, you were probably using Photoshop, which seems crazy nowadays, and you had to know HTML because you were that was your job description, to take the slices from Photoshop and reassemble them in the browser, in web, in Dreamweaver was the tool of choice back in the mid-2000s. And but because I had to learn HTML, CSS, and kind of understand what went into the actual development of it, it made me a better web designer. You know, you realize that things have to be designed in a certain way to avoid issues, essentially. And even now it's even more important. I mean, you've got responsive. I mean, these designs are liquid. It's not just, hey, we're gonna support 800 by 600 screens. And if you're on a bigger screen than that, well, it's gonna look small. But we have to allow for those tiny screens, you know. But then obviously when the iPhone came around, it was like, no, there's a whole new experience in town. And one more example of how, you know, learning and always being curious helped me. So my decision to always be curious, always be learning and developing these new skills, essentially becoming a generalist, that helped me as I moved on to the phase of being a art director or a creative director, a creative leader, if you will, because I was able to understand enough about web design and HTML, CSS to really communicate and contribute to conversations with my specialist web designers or even web developers. You know, there were times where they would run into an issue and be like, yeah, why did you design it this way? I'd rather we do it that way. It's gonna take me a bunch of time to do this. And on a few rare occasions, I was able to say, well, have you thought about doing it this way? You know, what if you nested these divs and didn't use margin, but use padding instead, and this rule and that rule, whatever, you can tell I'm a little out of practice. And they were like, wow, I didn't know you could do it that way. Thanks, I've learned something new from someone who doesn't do it every day. And so I was able to win some trust with those people, because it's super important, especially when it comes down to, you know, working with timelines and stakeholders, clients or whatever, where, you know, they're asking for things on in a timeline that is maybe more aggressive, or maybe it's even reasonable. And if you don't know anything about how long it takes to develop a page, what kind of tools you can use to speed things up, then you're at the mercy of that specialist, that individual contributor. They can tell you that, no, sorry, it takes a week to build that page, when you know you've done it in a few days in the past or something similar. And if this person is the specialist they claim to be, they can probably do it in that same time frame or even quicker. And so it doesn't mean that you're being a dick and you're like, you know, hey, I know enough about this. But you don't even have to get to that point, because you're able to say, hey, I know this sucks. We've got this deadline. It's not ideal. It would be better if we had more time, but this is the situation. You know, what are your thoughts? Maybe if we go about it this way, that we can maybe hit this deadline. Do you agree? Yes or no? And that doesn't mean that you just jump through hoops all of the time and, you know, run your design or development resources raw because, you know, the client wants something. And I had to learn that the hard way, you know. I think I contributed to, you know, the overworking of my team in the past, and that's not good. And they moved on, you know, and so that's a whole other subject, is, you know, saying no, knowing when to push back, etc. But suffice it to say, you know, to make this one point, understanding enough about what it takes to do web design, animation, vector illustration, you know, packaging design, whatever it is, will help you have better conversations with your individual contributors, your specialists, and result in a better relationship and a better final product, in my opinion. So, what do you think? Does this appeal to you, or are you like, no, thanks. I'm an illustrator. That's all I'm ever going to do. I work in Illustrator, the program. I use the pen tool. That's me. That's my identity. There's nothing I'd rather do. That's fine. You go be you, but just know that, you know, to be a creative leader, like in an in-house situation over multiple different disciplines, or in advertising, or at an agency, or whatever, that there's going to be some struggles. But if you're happy being that individual contributor, that specialist, that person who becomes the best at that one thing, and, you know, can be maybe world renowned and build a following, and people know, and the legend persists that if you want vector illustration, you go to that person. That's just a different journey, and that's awesome. And as you know, and some of you are probably like, yeah, dude, that's the way to go, because technology is always changing, Illustrator's getting new updates, like, seems every quarter nowadays, and it's, you know, you got AI, the techniques are getting more advanced, there's more you can do, there's always, you know, speed improvements, there's a library of assets that you can, you know, textures and for lack of a better term, vector widgets that you can put together. You know, you've got these different halftones, you've created this whole library, and you're just super fast, wicked awesome at that one thing. And that's true. You can spend a lifetime really becoming super proficient at one thing. And more power to you. And I'm not saying that that's bad, or that that's not preferred. I'm just speaking to the people like me out there that might find this valuable, that want to take a similar path. We should really have more episodes on what it's like to be a true specialist, and we've done some of those, but yeah, I feel like I may be doing y'all a disservice, right? But I'm not apologizing. This is the show. You've subscribed because for one reason or the other, you get value out of this, and that's probably because you're like-minded, and maybe you have a beard, maybe you drink wild cherry Diet Pepsi. Oh yeah, I mean, they didn't just go with cherry Pepsi, you know, like Coke. Which, don't get me wrong, I like me some cherry Coke, I like me some diet cherry Coke. But you throw the word wild in front of cherry, and back it up with a taste that makes you believe that there's sugar in this bad boy, you got me. You got me. Game over. Alright? So, I think I can drink to that, right? How about you? Oh yeah, refreshing. Okay, back to it. Back to it. So, another argument I hear is that, yeah, how can I learn all these things? Because let's just take different programs, for example. You've got Adobe Illustrator that we talked about. You've got Photoshop. You've got the entire Adobe Creative Suite, right? InDesign, Audition, the list goes on and on, right? And then you've got Figma, which is now a part of Adobe, but not part of the Creative Suite. Go figure. You know, yeah, it's all about the money. That's something different, right? Then you've got 3D apps like Blender, Cinema 4D, Maya, ZBrush, Plasticity, and so on and so on. And for the most part, they have different keyboard shortcuts. They have different ways of doing things, of organizing the assets. Like if we're just talking 3D, you know, Blender has their outliner and so does Cinema 4D, but Blender mixes in different menus into that area that feel kind of foreign, and you expect that in the main nav if you're in Cinema 4D or Maya. Don't get me started. And then you jump from one program to another and you feel like I'm starting over again. You know, I've attempted this. I just have the capacity for one program or one operating system. You know, there's people out there that really struggle to go from a Mac to a PC because you got to figure out how to switch from command to control. You know, and obviously there's other things with just the UI. So you tell yourself, nah, I'm Mac only, I'm PC only. I only use Cinema 4D. I'm not even going to touch Blender or ZBrush for that matter, because that's totally in left field, right? And it's true that, you know, there's been times where I'll be in the Creative Suite, you know, or for months, you know, we're making, you know, designs in Photoshop, or creating vector ads in Illustrator, or, you know, we've got multiple page documents being designed in InDesign, and that just seems like that's what I'm doing for months. And then you jump into Blender or Cinema 4D, you haven't been in there for 2 or 3 months, and you're like, what, how do I do this? You know, I'm holding down spacebar to try to navigate, and oh, that's not going to work, that's bringing up some random menu, and it's frustrating, and you might say, there's no use. This is yet more proof as to why I should just stick with one thing or stay in my lane, right? But from someone who has pushed through that struggle on many different programs and in many different disciplines, I can say that it does get easier. You know, it might be that first 30 minutes or an hour, you're back in this program that you haven't been in for a while, and you're like, what's that keyboard shortcut? You got to look it up. You know, maybe watch another tutorial for the 10th time, and it seems frustrating. But quickly, you know, the more you do it, the more you come back to a program, even years later, it's like you just have to access that memory bank folder and, you know, reinstall the muscle memory that goes along with the keyboard shortcuts and the using of that program. And it feels weird for the first hour, or heaven forbid, the first day. But if you continue, and over years, you go back to it, then you build like this ability to like install it into your home row, your bottom row of go-to apps in your mind. That just came to me as like the best way. You know how on a phone or on your iPad, you've got those apps that are docked to the bottom right? Those are the ones that maybe you use the most. It's the same type of thing with your brain. At least that's my experience. And so I've gone years with struggling with certain programs and not being able to crack it. Like, I remember seeing cool things be done, you know, 10 years ago or so when Substance Designer first came out. And, you know, I may be wrong about the exact dates, but, you know, before it was purchased by Adobe, some French company, Algorithmic, I think. And I'm like, wow, they're doing all these cool procedural textures with nodes, my nemesis at the time, inside of Designer, Substance Designer. And I'd tried to do nodes in the past, and you know, these were in programs like Modo, where you know, there was a different way you could do nodes if you want, but there was a different way, and so I would find myself falling back into that different way because it just didn't make sense to me. And so with Substance Designer, and it also came with Painter, so I knew that I would be able to pick that up fairly quick because that didn't involve nodes. So I bought the subscription and I had it for years, and then I would jump into Adobe Designer. I would do hours worth of tutorials and, you know, be able to reproduce what the tutorial had me do. But when it came time to, okay, I'm gonna try to create this type of material by myself without a tutorial's help, it was just like, where do I start? What is this? Which way do the nodes go? How do I know I want to plug this into that rather than that into this? And there were multiple false starts. It's been that way with a lot of big things, you know, in 3D, with you know, rigging or even UV mapping, you know, even animation. It took a while to finally click. Like, yeah, there's obviously keyframes and everything, but there are certain things that are set up to be keyframed and others that aren't, and you want to attach a node, whatever. It's just, we're talking, I've been using freaking 3D for 26 years now, since like 97. So it's a long time. And I've put tens of thousands of hours, probably 10,000 hours just into modeling, 10,000 hours just into texturing, and 10,000 hours just into sculpting. And so if you're persistent and you continue to work at it and you don't give up, sure, you can be defeated for a weekend or a year even, but pick that program back up and get in there again and try it. Watch your, you know, 120th tutorial on the app, and I promise you, one day something's just gonna click. If you work at it hard enough and long enough, eventually all of these pieces, these things that you've struggled with, they're still back in the back of your mind, kind of floating, answerless. And one day you see something on a tutorial, or you're playing with something, or something comes to you in a dream in the night, and you're just like, I wonder if that would work. And then you go do it, and it unlocks or answers all of these things that have been floating around in your brain for years, decades even, and then you're like on cloud nine. I mean, there are very few things that feel better than finally beating that program, or getting a handle for that type of a discipline, whatever it is. And I know I'm really digging into this, and my throat's getting dry, and thankfully I've got a little bit of Diet Wild Cherry Pepsi left. So, oh yeah, we can keep on going. We can keep on going. Let's just keep on going, my friends. So, just suffice it to say that I totally hear you, you know, that it is difficult, and you can get frustrated and say, okay, well, I'm just a modeler in 3D. I can model things. That's good enough for me. Or I can't model, and so I need to rely on getting free models from certain places, you know, buying model packs, but I can, you know, create shaders and textures and render and light these things till the cows come home, and it's amazing, and y'all need to pay me lots of money for that, but I can't model, and I'm not a modeler. Well, okay, you are what you say you are, so if you believe that you can't do that thing or don't want to put the time into it, then that's exactly what's going to happen. But if you tell yourself that this is something that I want to understand, and you just keep at it, and maybe you find someone you know that does that thing well, and as you're struggling through things, you're able to ask them, like, hey, I've always struggled with getting bevels to work right and make sure that my topology is still solid, you know. How do you do that? Well, here's the answer. Or, is there a better way to do this? Yeah, here's a keyboard shortcut. Or, it's totally possible. Rather than, you know, some of us oldies were trying to learn that stuff. You didn't even know how to ask the question. And if you didn't ask it right, you weren't going to get a response on the search engines, or there were no responses because so few people did this stuff, and it was behind locked walls, or, you know, I remember going to Barnes & Noble or Borders Books, finding a, you know, $80 manual, you know, like a third-party manual on a piece of software, and just feeling like I won the lottery. Sure, it was from four versions ago, but a lot of it's still going to apply. And I would just read those things page by page, even when I wasn't in front of a computer, and just, you know, just consuming it. And it took forever, and you just kind of would stumble into things that you could try when you did get in front of a computer, and maybe it would open up your mind to how you could use that for the project you've been wanting to do. So it takes time, it takes commitment, it takes patience, it takes tenacity to learn a new thing, and then to retain that new thing, and then to be willing to go back to it and switch between one discipline or program to another, and realize that it is going to take some time to feel comfortable again. But every time you come back to it, it seems like, and if you have a healthy mix of working these programs in, just kind of touching them on the weekly or the monthly even, then they get burned into that home row of go-to apps in your brain, and you're able to just unlock that mode. Like, I have several different peripherals. You know, we've got this, and I think I pronounced it wrong in the past when I talk about it. I call it this Huion, but I think it's probably Huion. Huion. You know, there's no information on here about what the keyboard or what each button relates to. But as I start to use the app, or I look at it once or twice, then my fingers start to remember, okay, I'm in Photoshop, my hands are on this Huion device, and it knows which buttons to push. And I can set the keyboard aside. Or it's kind of buried back here, but my connection, what is it called? The 3D connection mouse thing, which is all strapped up and hard to move. This is my baby when it comes to ZBrush. And I'll go ahead and throw in an affiliate link for this and the Wion product. But like your hand gets on there, you start to use this dial to navigate your 3D object. And initially you feel like you've never used it before and it's so uncomfortable, but comes back in like an hour at the most. I mean, sometimes it's 10 minutes. Sometimes it's no time at all, but it's worth it. It's worth it to continually be pushing oneself. That's what I've found. So I'm curious, like, does this help inspire you? Are you sickened by the thought of putting years or decades into becoming an amazing specialist at one thing, or a generalist of many? You know, if that scares you, if that's not something you want to sign up for, then don't. Because it's hard and it takes time and dedication. And you know, if you have other responsibilities and it's just a hobby, there's only so much time you can put into it, right? Because you've got to provide for yourself, provide for your family. You've got other commitments. You've got to take care of your health, your home. You know, I know there are things out there, but for those of you who want to make this your passion, who want to, because passions aren't something that just fall into your lap or you just find you have to go out and pursue a thing and work at it long and hard enough, and then it can become your passion. But if it's not something that piques your interest at all, and it actually sounds painful, not just scary, but painful or not enjoyable at all to you, then it's unlikely that it's something that you're going to be able to provide for yourself doing or convert it into your passion. Now, I know there are those out there who are listening to this or subscribe to these types of channels or advice because they want to get those answers quick, they want to get up to speed, they want to be working as a professional creative like yesterday, right? Maybe you've been doing something else, you've been a data analyst, you've been digging ditches, which is my favorite go-to, and you're like, man, I can't do that anymore. I want to learn something new. I want to be like that guy or that girl who gets to go into an air-conditioned office, work at a place with snacks, and just be at the computer all day because that sounds awesome. And hey, I used to draw as a kid, and maybe I'll be able to pick this up. Yeah. Welcome. You're here. You're in the right place. And, you know, check out my YouTube channel for quick starts on some of these different programs and how-tos and everything in there. You know, do a search. There are a million other great channels. But just know that it takes time. You got to put in the hours. You know, just because you spend a couple weekends learning a thing and you're able to follow a few tutorials and reproduce what was produced there doesn't mean you can go out and get a job doing that full time, especially in this market. Or you may be able to convince your uncle or your sibling to let you design their website or their invitation for their wedding or whatever. But just there are no silver bullets. There are no get rich quick schemes in life at all. You know, you can play the game of chance and maybe you stumble into something that, you know, helps you make a buck or two for fairly quick and you get some early success in that thing. But to really be successful, to really be able to put that work aside, those the thing that you don't like, the digging ditches or whatever, you have to be all in. You have to be curious. Be curious. You have to always be learning, you know. And I will say, it doesn't mean that if it took me 27 years to get to where I'm at in 3D and using some of these apps, let's just say in Blender, for example, there was a lot of other things that happened in between there, and I wasn't 100% focused the whole time, you know, and I've been learning multiple things at once. But if you dedicated to just Blender, for example, and you wanted to be a 3D artist, you wanted to be an animator, a modeler, a 3D generalist maybe, or just a specific thing. If you focus on that with the resources that are available, like my YouTube channel and others, you can become extremely proficient in a year or two. But it's not going to be a month. You're going to see some awesome improvements in that time. But just know that it does take time, and you have to hit yourself up against so many walls. But if you have someone to lean on, you know, like for example, I have a daughter who's in college and she's taking some of these 3D classes, and initially it was a struggle for her, but she's really starting to figure it out. Things are clicking and she's in her second year and she has me as a resource, but for the most part she's been pushing through and learning it herself or with her class, and finds like some pride in doing it herself and not asking me. But if she were to more often, then she'd probably get there quicker. But again, she's learning other things as well. So that's just an example. There are so many great resources now. I just can't imagine. But does that mean that my life has been wasted because I had to rely on $85 monstrous user manuals or whatever from four versions prior to the version I was using on? No. Doesn't mean that. It means that I've got the scars, I've got the stories to tell, which benefit me in a different way. But you can do it without the scars in a lot of cases. So, what do you think? Leave in the comments, let me know. Is this something that helped you? Is this something that inspired you? Is this something that you tuned off like 10 minutes ago? I'd be curious to know. Let me know. Feedback. I appreciate it, because in the end, you know, I may have started this podcast or this YouTube channel because, hey, that'd be cool to do that and maybe I'll make money at it. But I continue to do it because I need to. And I want to give back. I want to provide value. It's no more about, you know, hey, go check out my shop, and or I'm working on this thing that you can go buy someday. No, I legitimately, truly want to provide value. So please let me know if this isn't valuable, if you have tips on things that you want to learn. Or, and again, I have to say this once an episode, it seems, and maybe I should say it a lot sooner in the episode. This is just one dude's opinion, okay? I'm not pretending to be the end-all, be-all expert on these things. There are people that are better than me at everything that I do. Totally. Few and far between. No, just kidding. But what I can say is that I have experience, and I want to impart some of my learnings to you. Maybe they help, maybe they don't. But in the end, all I can do is the same thing I want you to do. And that's to just keep on creating. So until next time, my friends, create or die. Thank you.